Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created certain attractive forces amongst His creation. When this attraction exists between two inanimate objects, it is called magnetism. And that is what we refer to as gravity. And when it is found between two living beings, it is called affection. Like the Arabic proverb, Al-jinsu yamilu ilal-jins. A being is attracted towards its own. Now, as this affection intensifies and grows, it becomes mahabba, which, when you look at the root word, it translates into a seed. A seed takes root when planted in the ground, is nourished by the sunshine and rain, then fragrant flowers and fruits come forth. In the same way, when the seed of mahabba is planted in the human heart, it starts to flourish and slowly encompasses the entire being. So this attraction turns into infatuation as desire increases in the heart, and the heart becomes restless and uneasy. The restlessness grows until thoughts of the beloved consume the lover's entire being. And then the person reaches the stage where just separation from one's beloved becomes unbearable. The heart remains dissatisfied, and this constant craving for more. The thoughts of the beloved overwhelm a person. The beloved's happiness become the lover's happiness, and the beloved wants, wants become the lover's wants. This is the result of mahabba. One of the scholars of Islam said that mahabba is the strength of the heart. Mahabba is the nourishment of the soul. Mahabba is the coolness of the eye. Mahabba is everlasting life, the life of the heart, the success of life, and the extension of the success. That is what we talk about when we refer to mahabba. Now, mahabba forms the foundation of a community as hearts are drawn to one another. When you build a community, what is it that can bind people and bring together? It is mahabba. Intentions of the heart and mind strengthens the mahabba, and the attraction grows so that the lover becomes absorbed in love, and there is this constant burning and want that is ignited. And as one begins to feel the effects of mahabba, hardship and struggle become easy to handle. The heart becomes preoccupied with thoughts of getting close to the beloved, and all other thoughts melt away. And that is just, you know, some thoughts with regards to understanding mahabba. Otherwise, ulama say that if you really want to understand it, then there is no words that can truly describe what is mahabba. Now, we look at it generally, when you talk of love, we look at it in the sense of this world. But I'd like you to this morning to look at it in a different context, and to look at it in the context of our love for our master, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is the nature of man that we are drawn towards good character, we are drawn towards beauty, and this becomes the starting point towards mahabba. When we look at our master sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah had bestowed him with so much beauty, so much honor, that every believer naturally has intense love for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The greatest reason for loving Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that he is the beloved of Allah. And therefore it is essential for us as believers to have mahabba and love for that person to whom Allah has granted his love. In the noble Quran, which is the greatest witness to the beauty and character of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it tells us about the love that Allah has for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the honor that Allah has bestowed upon him. That whenever Allah addressed the Anbiya in the Holy Quran, he did so by name, by saying, O Adam, O Nuh, O Zakariya, O Musa. But when he addressed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not take his name, rather he referred to him by titles, Ya Ayyuhal Muzammil, Ya Ayyuhal Muddassir. Allah bestowed such honor upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he did not even take his name, subhanAllah. Allah said in the noble Quran that we are not to take Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name amongst ourselves, it, like we take a common person's name. لا تجعلوا دعاء الرسول بينكم كدعاء بعضكم بعضا. Deem not the summoning of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam amongst yourselves like the summoning of one to another. Do not call like you call someone, oh Zaid, oh Amr, oh Bakr. That's not how you refer to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Muhammad. What this verse tells us is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was no ordinary person. Even his name was auspicious. His name was not to be taken in vain. That is an early position that Allah had granted him. Different nations, tribes raised objections against their Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. The people of those nations refused to accept the truth, altering it into falsehood to the extent of slandering their Anbiya alayhi salam. Whenever an objection was raised specifically against our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, Allah answered the objections. The previous Anbiya alayhi salam had to respond themselves to the objections. But when it comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to it. So someone had said that anta majnoon, that you are a mad person. He, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, didn't have to say ma ana bi majnoon, I'm not a mad person. In fact, Allah responded by saying ma anta bi ni'mati rabbika bi majnoon, you are not by the grace of your Lord someone possessed or someone mad. When we hold intense love for someone, we offer ourselves as a shield, not letting him brave the harsh winds alone. Subhanallah. Allah himself has protected Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Allah's wrath was invoked against people who falsely accused Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is the extent to which Allah had cursed those who said things against Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took oath from the Anbiya alayhi salam, and when there is mention at various instances, the first mention was of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah had taken a covenant from all the Anbiya alayhi salam, and in mention that he first mentions Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ مِيثَاقًا وَمِنْكَ وَمِنْ نُوحِ وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى وَعِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمَ وَأَخَذْنَا مِنْهُمْ مِيثَاقًا غَلِيظًا. And remember, when we took from the prophets the covenant, and from you, Muhammad, and from Noah, Ibrahim, Musa, and Isa, the son of Maryam, we took from them solemn covenants. Listening to this, Umar bin Khattab was awestruck upon hearing this verse and said, O Nabi of Allah, O beloved of Allah, your status is so high that you are mentioned first amongst all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. You are mentioned first amongst all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah has elevated the status of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to such an extent that it can be summarized. The relationship between Allah and his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that وَمَنْ يُطْعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. He who obeys Allah and his Messenger has already attained the highest achievement. Allah has assigned the same status to obeying Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as he is assigned to obeying himself. And thus, obedience to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is part of your obedience to Allah. مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَى اللَّهِ. He who obeys the Messenger of Allah has really obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah responded to whoever swore allegiance to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam under the tree by saying, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُبَايِعُونَكَ إِنَّمَا يُبَايِعُونَ اللَّهِ يَدُ اللَّهِ فَوْقَ أَيْدِيهِمْ. Verily those who have pledged their allegiance to you, O Nabi of Allah, they have pledged their allegiance to Allah, and the hand of Allah is over their hands. That is, the activity that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had engaged in was elevated to that level, that Allah awarded such honor to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the two names, Allah and Muhammad, occur side by side in the kalima. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Allah has placed the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name alongside his own name. And that will be recited till Qiyamah in the Azan. Whenever someone bears the testimony of the Kalima, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, that person will have to take Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name alongside with Allah's name. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sent as a mercy to the entire worlds. When we look at Alameen, the word worlds, that is a plural. It includes not only human, but also the jinn, also other forms of life, wherever they exist in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I've been sent as a mercy from Allah. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ We have not sent you, but as a mercy for all creations. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I am a mercy sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has awarded Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam such high status that even the angels constantly send blessings upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the verses of the Noble Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا Indeed, Allah and His angels shower blessings on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. O you believe, send blessings on him and salute him with a worthy salutation. So these are some of the reasons why we ought to focus on the love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. As I indicated, that one of the main reasons why we love people, it is because of their position. And when we look at the position that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had an amazing position in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We continue discussing, when we come back from the break, the reasons why we ought to love Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And we'd like you to send us your messages related to the love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Describe your love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Put it into words. Tell us what is the sole motivating factor which drives you, which kindles your love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What do you consider is to be the greatest favor that he has bestowed upon this ummah, or that is conferred upon this ummah? May Allah give us the understanding. We continue with our discussion on the love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now, another reason people love one another in this world is because of beauty. The heart becomes inclined towards things that are beautiful. Mere words cannot describe the beauty of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We're told in the hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَاءِ Allah is beautiful and loves beauty. When Allah Himself likes beauty, we can only imagine how beautiful He would have made the one whom He chooses as His beloved. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu said that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the most handsome amongst all the Anbiya alayhi salam, and that his hands were softer than silk. وَأَحْسَنُ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَرَقَتْتُ عَيْنُ وَأَجْمَلُ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَلِدِ النِّسَاءُ خُلِقْتَ مُبَرَّأً مِنْ كُلِّ عَيْبٍ كَأَنَّكَ قَدْ خُلِقْتَ كَمَا تَشَاءُ My eye has not seen anything as beautiful as you. No woman has ever born anyone as beautiful as you. Pure from imperfection, as for your features, it is as though you had chosen how you'd like to be. So Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha is known to have said, she once said that, O Zulaykha, you only cut your fingers as seeing Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. Had you seen the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you would have cut open your heart, she said. The sky has its sun, and we have our own sun. And that was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And yet in another narration, we're told that Halima Sadia, her daughter Shima, used to ask her mother to send her brother with her when she'd go tend to the sheep. And when asked why, Shima said to her mother, I notice that the sheep graze quickly whenever my brother Muhammad is with me. The sheep then gather around where I sit with my brother, and both I and the sheep gaze at his beautiful face. Subhanallah. That is that he was a mercy to the worlds. Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah said that Allah did not reveal Nabi Salman's entire splendor because the people would not have been able to bear it. Hazrat Sayyid Atallah Shah Bukhari rahimahullah said that while describing the events of the cave, he mentioned, he said, O Abu Bakr, I see your lap as a desk, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam faces the Holy Quran lying within it. O Abu Bakr, I see you as a qari, and as a qari who is reading this Quran. I see you as a qari who is reading this Quran, subhanallah. Now that was the connection between Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Hazrat Abu Bakr. And when we talk more about that particular connection, when we look at the instance of the journey between Makkatul Mukarramah and Madinatul Munawwarah, And then at that time, it was an amazing display of love when Allah had informed Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that Hazrat Abu Bakr was to accompany him on the journey. And Hazrat Abu Bakr was told about this, he was overwhelmed with appreciation, gratitude to Allah, that when he was granted permission to make the journey, the hijrah with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the various events that unfolded at that time. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha says that, "I only found out at that time that men also cry out of joy." That is when Abu Bakr was informed that he was to accompany Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on the journey. Abu Bakr became the companion on the journey. Hazrat Abdurrahman bin Abu Bakr brought daily news of the Quraysh's activities to the cave of Thur. Hazrat Fuhaira was a slave who herded sheep all day, which allowed him to bring milk to the cave. Hazrat Asma bint Abi Bakr used to bring food to the cave. She was young and could go by unnoticed. And while Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's wife used to cook the food. And one day in the cave, Nabi Sassam noticed that Asma appeared very concerned and asked her, "What is the matter?" And Asma replied, "O beloved of Allah, yesterday when I was returning home from the cave, Abu Jahl confronted me and said, 'You know where your prophet is?' And I replied, 'Yes, I do know, but I will not tell you.' And he threatened to beat me severely, but I still refused. So he slapped me hard and I fell. My head hit a rock and started bleeding. I stood up with this with tears and told him, 'Remember this, Abu Jahl. Remember, you can take my life, but I will still never hand over Muhammad Arabi to you.'" Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi was extremely touched by Hazrat Asma radiallahu ta'ala's words and said that, "I've been able to repay everybody's favors, but only Allah will repay Abu Bakr and his family's favors upon me." And after 3 days in the cave, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Hazrat Abu Bakr continued on their journey to Madinatul Munawwara. Now, while they had come to the cave at that moment, there was also something extraordinary that had occurred at that time. And Sayyid Mahmud Alusi Baghdadi rahimahumullah has written in his Ruhul Ma'ani, he says that when they came to the cave, Hazrat Abu Bakr said, "O Nabi of Allah, I swear by Allah who has sent you with the truth, please do not enter this cave until I've surveyed it to make sure it's safe. If there's anything unsafe in it, let me first remove that." And Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went into the cave first. And he found many holes inside it, which he filled by tearing pieces from his own clothing. And when he ran out of cloth, he closed the last remaining hole with the heel of his foot. And Sheikh Allama Alusi rahimahullah commented and said, "There was one hole in the cave in which there was a very dangerous snake. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was afraid that this might present a danger to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu placed his foot over the hole to cover it, he was stung repeatedly. His eyes involuntarily shed tears as the poison took its effect. Allama Alusi says that his tears fell, but he refused to remove his foot due to the intense love that he had for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was awoken when the tear fell upon his cheek and he asked, 'What is wrong?' And Hazrat Abu Bakr narrated the chain of events, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam applied his own saliva on the wound, thereby dissipating the effect of the poison. Subhanallah. That is the colors of love that Hazrat Abu Bakr had displayed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had reciprocated it. After 3 days in the cave, they continued to Madinatul Munawwara. As Abu Bakr would walk to the right of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, sometimes he'd walk to the left, sometimes in front of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, sometimes behind him. And when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked why he was doing this, Abu Bakr replied, "O Nabi of Allah, when I walk behind, I fear that an enemy may attack from the front. So I move to the front. When I walk on your right, I fear lest an enemy may attack on the left. So I move to the left." Hazrat Abu Bakr was encircling Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam just as a moth encircles a burning flame. And when they reached the house of Hazrat Ma'bad along the way, continuing on the journey, and became very difficult due to fatigue and hunger, Hazrat Abu Bakr milked Hazrat Umm Ma'bad's goat and presented the milk to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Hazrat Abu Bakr smiled broadly as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam drank to his full. And when retelling that story, he said that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam drank so much that I in my heart became happy. That seeing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam enjoying the drink, it brought great joy to Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhum. This is what we're talking about. This is love. This is the love that Hazrat Abu Bakr has set down as a precedent for this ummah. That when he saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam drinking, it gave him joy. Even though himself he was hungry, even though himself may have had a yearning for the milk, but seeing his beloved drinking, that brought love to him. That brought joy to him. And upon reaching Madinatul Munawwara, the people of Medina welcomed Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Hazrat Abu Bakr. And the people of Medina had not seen Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and they encircled Hazrat Abu Bakr because the lover and the beloved were so alike in appearance, in their mannerism, the speech, and the dress. They were so similar that it was almost impossible to differentiate. And when the sun reached its peak in the sky, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu stepped forward and placed his shawl upon his beloved's head to shield him from the sun. And only then did the people of Medina see the difference between the master and the servant. It is stated in the hadith that only when Hazrat Abu Bakr stepped forward and put that shawl on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that the people really recognized who Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And that is, you know, the highest level, when someone is so in love with another person that they take the appearance of that person. And you find that, you know, and you may comment about this and share your thoughts, that couples who live together for many years, they start looking the same. You even find with the sheikh and the murid that many a times the murid starts looking like the sheikh. You know, he takes the resemblance. So that was the degree of the love. And this was described, you know, when Ibn Daghina, who had granted protection to Hazrat Abu Bakr, when he described Hazrat Abu Bakr, this is the very description which Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha had given about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She had described Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the very words that Ibn Daghina used for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the love that we're talking about, that we need to inculcate within ourselves, the love that we need to show and display. Now, how do we attain that love? One of the ways of attaining that love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to reflect on his beauty. And we mentioned the beauty of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was really outstanding and remarkable, that it was unparalleled. I indicated to you with regards to the cave and the description that was given by Shah Atallah Bukhari. Another instance of the beauty of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one night as a Jabir radiallahu anhu entered the masjid of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and found Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sitting therein. And the full moon was shining brightly. And Hazrat Jabir radiallahu anhu shifted his gaze to and fro between the moon and the blessed face of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He did this a few times as he was comparing, and finally he said, O Nabi of Allah, O Messenger of Allah, that your beauty far exceeds the beauty of the moon. Whoever laid, as Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu said, whoever laid but a glance upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was awestruck. Whoever looked up at him repeatedly was drowned in love. He says, I've never seen anything so awesome before, nor shall I see anything like that afterwards. With regards to the description of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Abu Sa'id al-Khudri says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was even more modest and shy than a veiled, unmarried girl. And before the acceptance of Islam, Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu traveled to meet the person who everyone was saying was a prophet, and upon reaching there, he had a description that he was looking to compare as to see whether Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam fitted that description. Eventually, he just looked at Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, accepted Islam, and said, Wallahi inna hadha laysa biwajhil kadhib. Allah's Qasam, this is not the face of a liar. Mus'ab ibn Umayr was sitting in a gathering with his head bowed down, envisioning Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He then raised his head and said, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was of a beautiful complexion, with a reddish hue. His auspicious eyes were large and alluring. His eyelashes were prominent, and his hair was slightly wavy, while his beard was thick. His neck seemed to have a silver glitter to it, and the perspiration of his brows would glimmer like diamonds. His palm and the sole of his feet had ample flesh to them, and whenever he walked, it seems as if he was descending from the height. He was of medium height, and the seal of prophethood was very prominent between his shoulders. People would be captivated at the first glance of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and would fall in love with him. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was most generous of all, and at the time he was also most brave and daring. He always kept his word with people and was the most truthful. He was the best in his social dealings with people and had the kindest nature of all. Hazrat Musab ibn Umair says, I've never met anyone like him, nor will I meet anyone like him. Subhanallah. That is the description of the beauty of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's face used to shine like the full moon. There was a slight ruddiness to his fair complexion that added to it an air of excellence and elegance. When we look at the various features of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his eyebrows were not joined, and in between them was a vein that swelled whenever he became angry. His hair was parted in the middle and was down to his earlobes. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's eyes were round and beautiful. The thin red veins were very prominent in the whiteness of his eyes. His eyelashes were long and delicate, and people would not be able to turn their gaze away from him. In the hadith it is stated, one of the sahaba say that he would become more beautiful the more one gazed at him. Subhanallah. This is our master sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Both sides of his face were symmetrical, and his teeth were slim and sharp. A light noor would shine through a gap between his two front teeth whenever he talked and smiled. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's nose used to shine radiantly, thus appearing more elevated than it was. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's beard was thick, and he had it was thick and dense, and he had a slender neck that had the silver shine to it. As Ali radiallahu anhu says, that the seal of prophethood was between Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's shoulders, and he was the last of the prophethoods, the prophet of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, and that was visible clearly on the shoulders of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when we reflect very deeply, just close your eyes and envisage the description, you know, bring it to life. That would increase your love for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But that's not all. Let us continue with the grandeur as well as the kindness that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had displayed to us, and we'll continue discussing that after the break. We continue our discussion on our love for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and discussing factors that would increase our love. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us all in our love. Now, when we look at the position of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's intercession for the believers on the Day of Judgment is another reason why every Muslim should love him. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reached the inner and outer heights of human character, and this is one of the reasons Allah had made him his beloved. وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمًا, and great is Allah's grace upon him. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, listen carefully, I do not take any pride that I am the beloved of Allah. The banner of Allah will be in my hands on the day of Qiyamah, and beneath it shall be the Prophet Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and all the other Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. I shall be the first to intercede, and my intercession shall be the first to be accepted, and the destination, the destitute of my nation shall be the first ones to enter paradise. I am nearer to Allah than the first and the last ones. Subhanallah, what a position Allah has granted Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I am the last of the Anbiya, and there are no prophets that will come after me. Just as a guest of honor is the last to make his entrance, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the last to grace this world with his noble presence. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, I am the last Nabi, and he joined his fingers like this to the two fingers of his hand, and the gathering said to conclude after the appearance, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then showed his position. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the highest amongst the Anbiya alayhi salam. His book is the highest amongst the books, and his nation is the best amongst all of the nations. Allah summoned Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the heavens during the Mi'raj to show him his treasures, and it was there that Allah had revealed himself to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a privilege that even Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam was denied. فَأَوْحَى إِلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ مَا أَوْحَى, and so did Allah convey the inspiration to his servant, conveyed what he meant to convey. Allah referred to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the title Habibullah, the highest titles of all in the realm, even higher than Kalimullah, or Khalilullah, or Ruhullah. That is the titles that were given to other Anbiya al-Islam. Kalimullah, the one who spoke to Allah, Musa. Khalilullah, the friend of Allah, Ibrahim. Ruhullah, the spirit of Allah. But Habibullah far exceeds that. Far exceeds that. Allah gave the title of Nabi Ummi, the unlettered Nabi. So his message to his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never sat as a student or as an apprentice before any person. Allah was his only teacher. وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمًا. And Allah taught you what you did not know before, and great is the grace of Allah upon you. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to teach mankind human character. Allah says, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. And you stand on an exalted standard of character. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's superior character brought about the revolution of Islam in a short period of 10 years. How old am I, Vrachin? That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conquered Mecca and Medina with the best of character. The world can easily combat the sword, but it cannot resist impeccable character like that of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions. Radiyallahu ta'ala anhum wa arda. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was such that the first prophet was sent to various nations, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to the entire mankind. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَةَ لِلنَّاسِ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا. We have not sent you but as a universal messenger to man, giving them glad tidings and warning them. And look at the favors that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has conferred upon us. Man, al-insan, abdul ihsan, man is a slave of favors done to him. We as human beings, we are weak, we dependent on favors and kindness. It baffles the mind to think how much we as the ummah owe our beloved Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. Now has come to you a messenger from amongst yourself. It grieves him what that you should perish. Restlessness and anxiousness he is over you, meaning he's concerned about you. To the believers he's most kind and merciful. That was the attitude of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the believers. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that I'm just a distributor and Allah is the one who gives. Whatever blessings and favors Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received from Allah would promptly distribute it amongst the Sahaba. In one hadith it said that whatever Allah put in my heart, I have put into the heart of Abu Bakr. Subhanallah. That was the connection between Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Ummah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would stand in the Tahajjud Salah all night making dua, crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much so that his feet would swell. And Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala related that one night Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continuously recited the verse, إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. If you do punish them, then they are your servants. But if you do forgive them, you are exalted in power and you are wise. إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ, if you punish them, they are your servants. And if you forgive them, then you are exalted in power and you are the wise. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, Allahumma ummati, O Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Allah, my ummah. O Allah, my ummah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O people, you are running towards the fire, whereas I'm desperately pulling you back. Wa ana akhidhum bihujazatikum, and you are escaping from my hands. The Prophet, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, lived at a time where things were difficult. And in the initial phase, he followed through with the manner in which Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam had adopted. In which Nuh alayhi salam said, Inni da'awtu layli, da'awtu qawmi layla wa nahara. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued to call to his people in a similar manner. Allah had presented Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with 50 salahs on the occasion of Mi'raj. However, he pleaded for leniency at the urging of Musa alayhi salam, who knew that Muslims would not be able to fulfill even the 5 salahs. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa kept pleading until the number was reduced to 5. At this Allah said, my beloved, your nation shall observe 5 salah, but I shall give them the reward of 50. This great reduction in the number was an enormous blessing the Muslims enjoy as a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via the medium of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is stated in the hadith that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua at the time of Hajj for the disobedient nation. He prayed to Allah to forgive the sins of his nation, even if they fall outside the rights of Allah, hukukullah, and the rights of humanity. Allah accepted the first half of his dua, and therefore forgiveness for the hujjaj, the hukukullah, they were made. And hukukul ibad, however, were to be dealt with on an individual basis. And after completing Arafah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Muzdalifah and he pleaded and he said, Allah, make mankind so content with your blessings that they forgive each other. And Allah accepted this dua also and said, Oh my beloved, I will forgive my rights to forever whoever comes to Hajj, and I will make your nation so contented with my mercy and blessings that they will forgive each other. Now, this is the tremendous favor of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon us. On the occasion when the verses were revealed, وَلَسَوْفَ يُؤْثِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى, and soon your guardian Rabb will give you and make you pleased. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard this, he said, لَنْ أَرْضَى وَوَاحِدٌ مِّنْ أُمَّتِ فِي النَّارِ, I will not be pleased even if a single member from my ummah remains in the fire of Jahannam. This was the connection, this was the kindness, this was the affection, this was the dedication and commitment to our ummah. Now, what does this demand from us? What is the dictates? What are the dictates of this love that we ought to have for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The dictates are simple. It is that we need to, at all times, follow the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the first call to action. Follow the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number two, acquaint yourself with the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Read about his life abundantly. Number three, recite durood and salat and salam upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam excessively. That is what we need to do, and we need to continue to emulate and follow in every aspect. May Allah make us from the lovers of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah elevate our position and give us the true understanding.